continue this obedience series. We are talking today, as last week we talked about, you know, being a little more connected with people, right? This week we're digging into that whole concept, this whole concept of welcoming. Now, I'm just going to ask a funny question because I think it's interesting. How many of you just love, passionate about welcoming people? I knew there'd be a few hands, and I knew who some of them would be. Some of us have this gift of God, and some of us, we sense it, but, you know. It has some of its challenges. And so as we kind of dig in this, we really kind of walk through what is this welcoming? Why is welcoming an important part of life here in the body of Christ? In fact, as we kind of start going this way, well, we'll get there in a second. So, you know, why welcome? What's going on? What's the point? How's it happen? Secondarily, what does Jesus teach us about? There's so many stories of Jesus' life that teach us things about welcoming that are very helpful for us as we walk through this life of faith with him. And then last and certainly not least, how is it that Jesus, you know, is there to welcome us and for us to see that and know that there is a great God, the God who loves us, the God who made us, who is welcoming to us, that sometimes we struggle to receive the welcomeness of the Lord our God. And so as we kind of dive in, I can tell you when I say welcoming, I'm pretty sure that most of you are talking about outreach, right? We're supposed to welcome people. But here's a funny point, and an important point, as we look into the Word of God, as we read in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. That context is not talking about welcoming guests. It's talking about welcoming brothers and sisters in Christ. And a tremendous truth of us. A lot of times when we say, oh, we need to be a better welcoming church, welcoming guests, sometimes we need to correct how we welcome each other. In fact, as we kind of go through this, you know, what does it mean to welcome each other? And I think we're in a culture that's a little challenging. I'm a guy, when I'm out on the street, I go up to people and I say, hey, how are you? Some people just put their head down and walk past. We know everyone that wears their things, and so that they don't ever have to say a thing to anyone, even though I just smile and, you know, things at people anyway. In church, it's somewhat the same. We're a church that has multiple services. We walk in and we're like, oh, I don't know that person. Do they go here? Or they go to another service? What's going on? We have a church that in some ways is large enough that it's difficult to be a welcoming person. I mean, I was pastor here. I remember when I first came here years ago, after being here about a year, I'd go up to someone and say, hey, you must be new. It's good to meet you. And they're like, I've been a member here for 20 years. And, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Chris. Get to church, man. But you know what I'm saying? It's difficult when you're in a large church of welcoming people, brothers and sisters even in the Lord. I think there are many times as we look across the room, I'm sure we could look across the room and you could say, oh yeah, I recognize that person, but you know, I'm not going to go say hi to them. It's kind of like, you know, inappropriate or I don't know. There are the things that get in the way of us being a welcoming body. You know, and Jesus said a fascinating truth, you know, in Mark chapter 22:37, right? Very popular. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, also your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what God is always calling us to. And in a church environment, there are sometimes, I'll just maybe here in this church, there might be an occasion where there's a little fight going on with someone, a little disagreement going on, And what happens is, you know, someone's there and they say, you know, I was here and they were there and they didn't even say hi to me. So they must be very ticked off at me, or they don't even like me anymore. And then you go talk to this person over there and they're like, I was actually coming to say hi, and then they just seemed like so offensive. And so they just, and so there are, it's amazing how the not welcoming does create barriers. As a pastor of this church, I'm someone that deals with a lot of the problems that people have. They share their ugliness with me. All right? And when they come in church on Sunday, I come up and I say, hey, how are you? Because that's important for us. What welcoming does is it tells you what God is trying to tell people throughout the world, whether they're guests or members here at a church. God is wide open. He's wide open. And sometimes, as a body of Christ, one of the things that's helpful for us to welcome each other is for us to acknowledge the people that there might be some problems and go say hi, which is a little bit of a challenge, I know, but important for us as the body of Christ. There is in Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus is teaching his disciples, he talks about, you know, if, and he's talking about anger in this circumstance, but it's a great revelation for us as well. He talks about people bringing their sacrifices to God, and he says, look, if there's an anger problem, leave your sacrifice, sit it down, and go heal the relationship. Then come back together and sacrifice and give. Because God has his plan for the people of God, and it is for us as brothers and sisters in Christ to recognize this is my brother, no matter what. This is my sister, no matter what. And welcoming is something that's so helpful in making that reality in our lives, breaking through the brokenness. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you, when I started this welcoming church, were thinking about, okay, welcoming guests. And so we kind of go through and we talk about welcoming the guests. You know, Jesus, very welcoming to the guests. Peter, welcoming. Paul, welcoming guests. This was all a part of the life that we see all the time. And it's really for us, it's to open the door to opportunities that come. In Matthew chapter 5, as you go forward, it goes verse 43 and 44. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate those who persecute you. This is a big deal. No, he says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. So, you know, this is what we have to be is a welcoming church. It does not welcome those who are hungry to listen to God, not welcome those who have got their lives right and straight, but love the people that are not always easy to love. Love the people that are hating. Love the people that are struggling. Love the people, whatever is going on in their lives, for this is the love that God has shown for us. In the book, in the Old Testament, this is huge. In Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, there is this constant, and there's many references, I can't get to them all, but we'll just go Leviticus 19. As this goes on, you know, we are called by God, says this, you shall love the sojourner. The soldier. These are the people that, in essence, these are people who have not home anymore. You know, as we're a church here in the Northwest where everybody moves here. I know we still probably about half people here. Well, I'll just ask. How many of you are from, born, Northwest? Yeah, about half. And half are guests. And this is one of the big callings of us. You know, this is what the Old Testament church had to do. You have non-Jewish people people born outside and they're here among you, treat them as a brother. How do you welcome them? You treat them as a equal, right? This is not someone that, oh, I need to do all these things to get them up to speed on being a Christian. No, we just welcome them into this body, into this place. And it's a tremendous gift for us. This Old Testament people taught us well on how to do it and what it means. And so, you know, as we kind of go forward, why are we? You know, what is the point of a greeting at the beginning of a church service? It's to open the hearts. It's to open the eyes. I cannot tell you how many times as I've walked through being a pastor here that people come to church and sometimes people come and they say, you know, we feel no one here really even wanted to meet us. But I will say, as we got some people doing this now, more official, that every service has people that try to reach out and touch lives if they see someone they don't know, it's opened the door now that people come and they say, wow, when we came here, we're glad that people, so thank you, all of you who have welcomed well. It makes a big difference in the lives of people. What's the point, all right? So why do we welcome? We do this that people may actually be able to open their heart to God. It's like creating the doorway for people. That's what welcoming does. It opens the door. All the fears, all the doubts of people, whether they're a member walking through this church or whether they're a new person coming to this church, welcoming opens the door so that their eyes are open to hear the Lord, the one who loves them well, and to help them know that God's love is so wide. That's why we open our doors. That's why we welcome people no matter what they've done. No matter what your failures are, you are welcome here. So my second point as we kind of go through this is how did Jesus, what did he do? What did he teach us about welcoming people? And now I will say this, Jesus is perfect, all right? No one's ever going to live up to this on the level of what Jesus did. But he did things to help us see. He's someone that lived in this earth and understands and walks through. And so it's a helpful thing for us to see what Jesus has done. And so as we go through, if you want to open a Bible, we're not going to go through in detail, but in John chapter 4, he kind of hits one of the biggest factors. Jesus, all right, he didn't try to impress anyone. And that's kind of point one. Welcoming people isn't impressing people. Jesus didn't do that. And this John chapter 4, these are the Samaritans. The Samaritan people, they're in Samaritan area. And there is this woman who comes, and Jesus, you know, the disciples have to go get some stuff, and so they just take off, and they walk right by her and never say a word to her, because that's sort of, you know, we don't talk with people of other nationalities back in those days. And yet she comes into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus begins a conversation with her. Because she's not someone who's happy to welcome, not someone that you would expect to ever bring a conversation to you. Jesus opens the door. And does he open the door by saying, do you know me? I am Jesus Christ, the Savior of your souls. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That's not the first step in welcoming, right? He's welcoming, he's opening. And so he just kind of starts with, you know, I'm thirsty. Can you give me something to drink? And he starts a conversation with this woman. She's not seeking it, but Jesus is welcoming, and he knows how much she needs it, and he reaches out. He reaches across her barriers. And he shares not the things that he thinks would work well to convince her. He shares the truth of God in a loving manner. And this is what God always calls us to be and to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, he writes and he says, you know, we are in service to the Lord and not to men or women. All right, I'm just saying. We always, if we feel, okay, I'm supposed to be a little more welcoming, I'm supposed to really reach out to people, what should I do? What would work? Forget it. That's not what God's seeking for you to do. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to find out what's going to work. He simply wants you to open up and allow him to use you in the ways that he intends. There's no success. Never beat yourself up and say, well, I tried to reach this purpose, I didn't, I must be terrible at this, and blah, blah, blah. No, it's totally out of your ability. You can't change another person's heart. You can't change another person's mind. We just share welcoming. We just embrace them. And sometimes they run away. Sometimes they put up their guard. And sometimes they open their door. And that's why we do it. As Jesus did it with this woman, it had a tremendous impact in many, many ways. Now, many of you know Kendra Breyer. You know, she did her mission moment not long ago, and she shared this great story of her and this friend that she had back in high school. And I remember back talking to her back when she was in high school about this friend that she tried so hard to reach and grab hold and get to know the Lord God. And as she told the story, she told that this person just disappeared. And then, you know, years later, she runs into her and finds out this girl was so thankful for what she had done. And her life had changed a lot because of Kendra. And I can tell you, as a pastor of this church, someone who loves people, I love people, no question. Love people. And it's amazing how often those people that I love have never even made it to worship yet. Because what love is, what it is to welcome, to open your heart and open your mind to people, it's not succeeding. It's simply doing it and trusting in the Lord God to use it in mighty ways. Don't try to change who they are. Simply try to love as Christ loved, opening the door. Now, secondly, as we go through this, 3 points on this category, Jesus made time for people. All right, I know we're American people. We're all too busy. Who's got time? We can't welcome people. We can't build relationships with people. Who's got time for that? Well, Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is he's met with this man. And this man's got his daughter, and his daughter is about to die. And the man runs to Jesus and says, can you come and heal my daughter? And Jesus, of course, says, yeah, I'll change. I was walking this way. I'm going to walk down this way. I'm going to break my life for this moment. And as you go in this text, it goes on, and it's no question that as this is going on, another woman comes up, and there's another, and, you know, there's these interruptions to life. I've met many Christians who are organizers. We got to organize. Got to get everything organized. Got to get it all set. And I've said this to many people. If you have your life completely organized, then you've never really heard or followed the Lord. Because God sometimes uses us in ways outside of our organizational realities. And so this is what Jesus does. Someone comes, he breaks it. Okay, I'll help. I'm there. I'll walk with you. I'm there. I'll do it. And as this is going on, you know, he goes and does this incredible things. This incredible reality that is an interruption. Never let interruptions be seen as negatives in your life. God often interrupts your life for a reason, There are times for certain things. And when God calls, we open our hearts. We follow where he leads. It's a tremendous gift for us. Because of time, I'm going to jump to number three. Zip through this. Now, Jesus, I will say this is another great point that Jesus made with us. Jesus had clear priorities. Okay? As we look in Luke chapter 19, there is this moment with Zacchaeus where Jesus clearly is feeling a direct passion for this man. He's open to whatever God is leading him to do, whatever his father is calling him to. And so this happens, and Zacchaeus, he calls him, hey, you come down. There's someone that kind of grabs hold of his attention. And then guess what? Is he in phone contact with Zacchaeus for the rest of his life? Is Zacchaeus running, chasing, and following him? No, it's a moment. There are people in our life that are simply for a moment where God calls us to do something, to be welcoming to this person. Hey, you're welcome. People do this at this church all the time. They're like, hey, I said welcome to this person. They seem really happy to be here. I'm bringing them to you, Chris. Because I know they're busy people. What are they supposed to do? Open their lives to every person? It's impossible. It's impossible. And so there are differences, and there's some power in identifying. Jesus had his disciples, his 12. They had a lot of his attention and his time for a very specific reason. Jesus was preparing them for what's to come. All right? Preparing the people to lead the beginning of a church. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of us have that calling right now. But what is it that God has that is important to put as this is most important? Yeah, God interrupts and we do certain things, but we can't open our lives completely to each and every person. Who are the people that God has put on your heart? Who are the people that are critically maybe questionable where their faith in the Lord is? Who are the people who don't know Christ, friends of yours? Who are the priorities of your life? As I was starting to say earlier, you know, I have these relationships with people who never have become members of this church. And it's tremendous to me because I know I'm here for you. I say it to everyone. Call me anytime. You've heard it from me many times. Call me anytime. And I mean it. Call me anytime. You need help? Call me anytime. Call me anytime. And the people that I pursue after who don't call tend to be the people that don't know the Lord. They're the people that sometimes would never call. Have you ever had someone like that in your life? Someone you have to call because they're never going to call you? This is what God calls us to be welcoming, is for us to prioritize. All right, God, you have a calling in my life. Who's the one that I should be welcoming? Who's the person in my life that I need to open the door of Christ, of this church, of a relationship? Because the welcoming time, it's not just church time. Who do you welcome in your job? Who do you welcome in your community? Who do you welcome in the world as you walk through it day by day? Point three. How does Jesus do it with me? You know, we've talked through a lot of different things. You know, I know we have this, you know, we're a church where our core value, our purpose statement is to seek out and bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's a welcoming. You got to have a welcoming attitude to accomplish the things that we are here for as a church. But the Lord our God, the one who loves us deeply, is the one who longs for us to know that he is the one that welcomes us. He is there for us, and he loves us deep. In Luke chapter 9, verse 11, and I love this, he's talking about, this is Jesus going around, and all these people are hearing about him, and they're just gathering up, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. And I say that he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. You know, God wants us to welcome people. God wants us to share this Christ with people. But Christ himself wants you to receive his welcome, for he has much to share with you, things we need to be reminded of, the truth of what God is doing in our lives, the truth of our forgiveness, the God that holds nothing against us. And then he even finishes up, you know, these who are, who had need of miracles. I mean, these are people that come and God does miraculous things for them. God, he calls us to be welcomers, but I'm pretty sure none of you are able of doing the miraculous for people. You know, God calls us to be welcomers, but he is the God who is with us, who is there for each and every one of us, no matter what we face, who opens the doors and says, hey, welcome. I love you. I'm here. In fact, I'm the welcomer who can do things outside of your dreams and your abilities. He's the God who looks at our failures and says, no, I wash it all clean. And, you know, as we come and we celebrate this Holy Communion, it's not small, for God is calling to welcome you. I've talked with many people who sometimes feel very separated from the brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have their own fears and doubts about life, those who beat themselves up for their own failures. And Christ says, welcome, welcome to this table. Every one of you is welcome. Doesn't matter how messed up your sins are. Doesn't matter how messed up your faith is. I am the God who came here to give you this incredible gift. The gift of the forgiveness of your sins. The gift of me in your life and in your heart. And so on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way after supper, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of each and every one of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Peace the Lord be with you all.